Welcome to the Muskie 360 Podcast. A Jay Bird.
Steve.
Big Radiohead fan, are you?
Oh, man. Not really.
Oh, my gosh.
Boom on you, crazy boomer.
Come on,
don't
dude.
Don't get me going on boomers.
Dumb freaking boomers.
Oh, you know, Homer's not a boomer. He qualifies as boomer age, but he's not a boomer. He's boomer free. I got Elmer. Oh, man. He did us. Oh, man. Was he animated
dude,
today?
Dude, Elmer's so old, he trolled the Red Sea. Folks, God was like, Noah, you need to get two of everything on your boat. And Noah's like, dude, but, and he's like, God, you mean a muskie too? And he's like, yeah, you got two muskies. He called Elmer Jensen to catch them both. That's how old Elmer is.
Ouch.
Ouch. Well, the thing is this, Wild Bill sold him the baits to catch them. Oh, my God. I don't know how we got there really quick, but God, I love those guys. Folks, if you want an entertaining time, go into the Muskie Shop when Wild Bill and Elmer are working.
Yeah, and Freddie. I mean, just walk in and take a deep inhale.
Of Freddie.
Exhale slowly.
Mercury outboard.
Take in everything. Take in the smell of the soft plastics. Take in the odor of those wild suckers roaming free in their little pens, getting ready to be released into the fall waters of northern Wisconsin.
Freddie Mercury outboard Pomero is the only soft plastic sommelier in the North Woods.
He is the crappie king.
Uh-huh.
And the musky
sommelier.
Okay, that's it.
This is no joke, folks. I once watched Fred. He can tell the difference in a smell between a 10 and 12 inch Poseidon. I don't know how he does.
He can tell the difference at 30 meters. Between a Palermo and a Totino's pizza.
30 meters.
30 meters upwind.
Upwind.
The guy's incredible. He's got a schnauzer on him.
Listen,
I don't know what we're even talking about now.
He's stalking your frozen food aisle.
Oh, be careful around that guy.
Anyway, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get into this? How do I tell them about my shattered dreams?
Well, Sunday we both had trips. All weekend we both had trips, actually. I had my buddy Brandon up, AB, and we went fishing. And, he took off Sunday.
Yep.
And you were done guiding Sunday, and I got a call from my buddy Stevie, and he's like,
"Hey, buddy.
Hey, just got off the water." Yeah, right. And he goes, "I just got hit."
I'm talking. So here's what's going on.
Yeah,
I get off the water. Got some nice dudes from Chicago. We go out. We go fishing. I'm driving home. I'm talking to Jay. Jay, what do we do about this? What do we do about that? Oh, shameless plug. I was actually, to be honest with you, calling because Mike from Waterwolf sent me some awesome stuff.
Yeah, you sent me a picture.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
Mike from Waterwolf, you're my hero.
Hey, Mike.
He's only selling in Canada right now because, he's not a big Lee Greenwood fan. Let's put it that way. Because they hate Americans. I'm teasing. No, with all... God, I'm in trouble now. No, what's going on is Waterwolf, they're only selling in Canada right now, obviously, with everything going on. Hopefully here shortly we're going to have something awesome, and he's got something up his sleeve. I've seen the pictures. You just wait. There's going to be some Waterwolf offerings at the Muskie Shop. He sent me some cool stuff, though, so keep your ears and eyes peeled for Waterwolf at the Muskie Shop here shortly. He doesn't hate Americans. He loves Americans. If I was from Canada, though, I'd hate Americans. I'm just throwing it out there. It's like this smug superiority.
He hates American hockey players.
Oh, then
I think that's where it stems from. You know what I mean? And it's not hatred. That's a pretty strong word. It's just a dislike. You know,
I'm just teasing because everybody
not authentic enough.
The problem is you can't get Waterwolf down here right now. He's working on it. We're working on it. But keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. And who doesn't love the hockey? I think he's a big Habs fan, by the way. But I'm talking to Jay on the phone. I was like, dude, he sent me some of the coolest stuff I've ever seen. It's weird stuff.
Set the scene. It's dark. You're on the interstate or on a big highway.
I get off the road. It's getting dark early. So I'm talking to Jay. We're talking about this cool water wolf stuff. And I just see headlights come from the wrong side. So I'm on an interstate, Interstate 40, that runs through the entire, like, half of the United States. And I see these lights come the wrong way. I say, I'm going to get hit. Boom. And if you guys know, and I don't talk about myself as little as possible because who cares? I mean, but a lot of you have seen it on Muskie Shop TV or heard me talk about it. Low Boats had me set up with a amazing 20-foot custom deal, super rare boat, and a drunk, uninsured, no registration, unregistered car, no insurance driver hit me at 80 miles an hour, hit me directly in the axles of my boat. We went up on two wheels. Jay heard me go up on two wheels, and somehow I was able to turn into it. They basically hit me with a pit maneuver and totaled my boat. There were Livingston prototype baits in there that were blown all over the hell and half acre.
Still in the ditch. 3.5 miles off the 365 interchange.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah, if you're looking for Livingston prototypes, check out the ditch. I had some fish finders that were actually, they hit so hard. My fish finders were blown off the boat, and I have nice ram mount ease. It was ridiculous.
Ripped to one of the tires off the axle. Yeah,
literally,
they
hit so hard that it shattered that rim. So it was like broken glass. My axles have a nice, and thank you, they're made in the state of Tennessee where I'm from, Hustler Trailers. I had a gigantic custom-made Hustler trailer with beautiful chrome everything because if you're a redneck, you like chrome. That is gone. And
of course, the uninsured motorist that was clearly severely intoxicated. Uh-huh. What did she do?
Well, I'm getting
limped
there.
Off the road. They did. Hold on.
Let me get there before you give it away.
Okay.
The thing is this though: when they get hit in the side, not only does it hit me in the side of the boat, she flips around and hits my outboard, and then hit the boat again.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 3 points of impact from one accident. I have a brand new Command Thrust Mercury 115 with the biggest stainless steel prop you've ever seen. And it is just basically ripped off the boat. And I have a hole in my transom of my boat is a 2021 custom job here. There's a hole in it the size of a cantaloupe.
Your dream boat.
The insurance agent said, well, is there any other boat you'd want? And I said, no, this is I was going to keep that boat until the end of time. If you've been on it, the dudes that listen to the podcast have fished with me, I love that boat. Literally, I nearly cried. And I'm an adult, and I don't cry at stupid stuff like that, but I nearly cried. Anyway, so this magnificently uninsured motorist that has decided to get absolutely soused at 8:30. It wasn't like it's 4 in the morning, 8:30 in the evening on a Sunday. As Jay said, proceeds to go down the road. So I'm on the phone with Jay and I get boom and I go, Jay, I just got hit. And Jay's freaking. And then Jay hears me get hit and I go up on two wheels and then Jay hears me slam back down. I almost got flipped over, as close to being flipped over in a vehicle. I don't know. Literally, I'd say half a degree, I would have went over and I would be dead. And you guys wouldn't have to listen to this shit anymore. It would be Jay coming here. Hello.
Hi.
This is Jay.
My name's Jay.
Welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast.
Welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast. Tom Bird, how are you?
I'm good. I found some pallets this week. We're making fun of Tom Rudis. If you guys, folks, for real, side note here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Side if note. You have pallets for sale, contact Tom Rudis at the Muskie Shop.
Yep.
That guy
Or even if you collect pallets like he does.
If you want to talk pallets, and I'm talking wooden pallets. I'm talking wooden pallets. if you're a palate aficionado, palate collector, or just a ancillary palate enthusiast, contact Tom Rudess, the palate king.
well said.
Thank you.
That was good.
But Jay nearly hears me get killed.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, and after I just got hit, and then you said I just got hit again after a big pause, and I'm like, first when you said I got hit, I'm like, whoa, what? Right. And I heard it. I could hear something. You know how phones are in the car.
I'm on Bluetooth, kind of, by the way, yeah, folks.
Right. It's not how, you know, clearly it's, you know, how phones have kind of like that compression and limiting to them. Swoop. So it was just a weird little tick type of sound, and then you're like, someone just hit me, you know, and tell them about fishtailing out of control.
So my boat is 20 feet long. My trailer is, I think, 26 with the engine sticking out. So I got a massive trailer. Some of you may know from previous episodes of me talking about my truck. I drive a Jeep Trailhawk. Got leather. You know, don't need to brag, but I got leather.
So, it's in this case, you got power under that hood. You got a V8
I don't know how many cylinders I have, but
yeah,
I have
like 400 horse.
I have custom stitching.
Yeah, well, who cares?
It's leather. Did I mention that? Did I mention I have leather interior, Jay?
Yep.
Folks, let's take about 30 minutes and talk about my seat heaters. They're magnificent. Yeah, I'm teasing.
You don't need them down there.
Yeah. Oh, after a long day of fishing.
It's chilly this morning. It's 50.
Oh, it's 50 degrees. I need that seat heater in my custom stitched leather. I have red stitching in my truck, Jay. That's how much of an asshole I am. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on. I'm teasing. I love my truck. You guys, that's a throwback joke for like forever ago. We're like, I got leather. That's like 200 episodes ago. Whatever. But I've got V8, so when I go up and I go airborne, my knee-jerk reaction is to slam the gas and I turn into it, and then I can proceed to fishtail like crazy. I don't know how I got control. Jay heard the whole thing, and I'm just like, I don't know what I really was saying at that point. I'm screeching, and I get the boat pulled over, and I open the door. Jay, you're still on the phone. I open the door, and I fall down because my adrenaline's so out, and I say, call Jody Michael.
You did. Well, you see, the thing you did, which might have, who knows, it might have saved your life, was when you started fishtailing with that long trailer, you punched the gas. Most people would probably hit the brakes, and if they would have braked in that situation, at the very least, you would have jackknifed bad, if not rolled over with that deal. And after you punched the gas, you got control. You clearly let off the gas, brake slowly. You pulled over, and you said, "Call my wife. Tell her I'm on this exit near." You told me some exit to tell her.
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Oh boy, I get to give his wife a heart attack now on the phone. How am I going to say this to her quickly and efficiently?" You know.
Well, Jay and my wife talk all the time behind my back, is what I think.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. So my heart jumped too. It was not cool. Cause I'm like, are you okay? Before I said, are you okay? And you're like, no.
No,
and
I'm like, hurt. Oh, God. Yeah. I literally said, no, I'm hurt, which I feel like I got hit with a T-ball bat in the back of the head, but that's a whole other story. I'm fine. But just that initial shock. And I was still on the phone with Jay, and I got out of my truck and I just fell down. I'm thankful that I didn't flip. I'm madder than hell that somebody hit my boat that I've waited. I'm 39 years old, and I've been fishing since I was 6, and that was the boat that I wanted, and somebody that is that much of an a-hole and that inconsiderate took it. I talked to my attorney. They flat out said, well, you know, they have they don't have two pennies to rub together, which is great. So fortunately, I have full coverage.
Insurance.
Yeah, I have full coverage on my truck because it does have leather. Did I mention that earlier, Jim? I have leather seats.
You got the leather package coverage.
I got the, so, I mean,
it's a little extra,
literally,
it's
a small Italian guy comes and conditions my seats once a month, according to my insurance policy. I'm teasing, guys, but, you know, full coverage on everything. So, shout out, I use Progressive, and they actually have the best boat insurance I've seen. Until next week's episode, if they screw me over, I'll be screaming about them. So you guys are on blast. I do have an attorney. Lyle Knutson. But no, that scared the hell out of me. I like I said, guys, I mean, we're always upbeat, but you want to talk about the life of a fishing guide. And I tell Jay all the time, it'll be like, I'm coming home at 11:45 on a Saturday. But how many times am I talking?
Imagine having to basically fish 6 days a week, you know, most of the day.
Six,
drive home in the dark and then have to call Jay and have to talk to him.
Well, I called Jay. I always talk to, I told Jody, I call her every day and drives her nuts and like, hey, I'm coming home. Every time I can't stop myself, like, I'm coming home. I'm hungry. She's like, I know you're hungry. You do this every day. I make you food every day, which I have a loving wife, Jody Michael. Her real name's not Jody Michael, but nonetheless. And then I call my other wife, Jay. Jay's my work wife.
Yep.
Here we go, folks.
Yep, here we go.
Just got
attacked. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Here's Steve. He's going to...
Lake X John.
Oh, Lake X John just texted you? What's he doing?
I don't know. I didn't read it.
Anyway. But we, you know, Jay and I talk, because believe it or not, folks, we're friends off of the podcast. This is barely made up. So like I said, I mean, it's just, that was my typical day, and I came about as close to getting flipped and being gone as I could imagine. Had they hit me in the truck, I'd be dead.
I was shocked when you said what happened, when you gave me the quick synopsis while we were still on the phone. I'm like, who hit you? And you're like, I don't know. I remember lights coming up.
The wrong, I thought it was like a miracle, in a weird way.
Yeah. I can't believe she's alive, to be honest with you.
Well, when you're that drunk, you're pretty loose.
Yeah,
so to finish this off, you're going, well, what happened? I pull over. Jay calls Jody because he's been talking to my woman behind my back. We're going to deal with that later, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you talking with my woman? Anyway, Jay and Jody are friends, so they say. We'll deal with that later. No, Jay calls Jody. She's freaking out. She heads over there. I call 911, and I'm on the phone with them, and I'm like, no one calls 911 and is like, hi, I was just killed. Fortunately, as someone that has high blood pressure and panic attacks, I was pretty calm. I was like, hi, I was just hit by an idiot. Really calm. And the guy's like, are you okay? Like, you sound pretty calm. I was like, listen, I'm always nervous, so I'm always calm. And I just told him, I said, you know, somebody just hit me and I think they're behind me. And I don't even know if I told you this, Jay. Somebody ran over parts of my boat and got a flat tire. So about 400 yards behind me, there's a pulled over car.
Yeah, you told me.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm talking to the dispatch and they hear, and there's sparks flying. And I went, well, there they go. And the guy goes, what do you mean? I said, if that's not the person that hit me, there's somebody that is running around on four flat tires.
Wow.
And they take the exit that I'm parked right next to.
Boom.
The cops show up. They're being cops. You know, we're talking. How much that boat cost, boy?
They talk like that down there?
I'm from Tennessee. They were wearing aviators at night, Jay.
Of course. Weird.
You know, chaw of red man. You know, who hit you, son? But anyway, I'm talking to him. I said, guys, like, I heard definitely the person that hit me get off in that exit. I wasn't looking, but I had fallen down like an idiot.
Yeah, and judging from the amount of white paint on your black boat, it's probably a white vehicle, too.
Right, and I told him that. I was like, there's white paint. I said, you're probably looking for a white car. And the guy's like, they're probably gone. I said, could you look? Do you care? Could you go check it out? Sitting behind a dumpster at a grocery store off that exit is this person.
Bingo.
Bingo.
See ya.
Enjoy jail. I hope that the Smitters will get you.
Bye-bye now.
The cool thing is this. I've got ties to the prison system through the Smitties.
Well, if Smitty served time in the Tennessee pen where right. she's headed,
yeah, done.
You know, he'd have some survival tips for exactly. her if she wanted them.
So, mm-hmm. you know, one text to Jake Smith,
boom, whew, it's over.
You go out there in the yard, shank, shank, shank. You're going to take a tracer tail to the liver.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't you know the Smitty's got the in on that whole scene. I love the Smitties. But anyway, that's what happened, folks. It has been like probably the craziest week ever. I want to say a thank you, and this is an odd episode. I got a list. If I miss anybody, I'm sorry, but Eric Arnoldson from Livingston Lures, Ja Bez up in Ohio, Jim Stewart from the Muskie Shop, obviously Jay, my buddy Tim from the Netherlands, Chris Ray here in Tennessee, Dr. Chris, Mark Farkas, Jake Smith from the Smitty Baits, a guy that's supposed to take Billy Pappas. Everybody has been so kind, and most of that list are guys that have helped me find a new boat as a temporary boat until insurance takes care of it. And also Josh Krieger from Muskie Shop Guide Service, Steve Herbeck. Like, I've had so many.
Pete
Mena at Booker.
Booker.
All these guys that have called and said, do you need my boat? Or I'll help you try to find a boat, because it's the worst time to buy a boat right now.
It's the worst time.
And so, period. You know, I want to thank all you guys, because all of them went above and beyond and spent time looking for me, make calls, tried to find boats for me. Fortunately, today I was able to buy a really nice boat as an in-between boat, completely guidable. Nothing fancy, but it'll get it done until I get my fancy boat back. And Jay, the thing with my boat, it matches my leather interior. Did I tell you that? Anyway, but I'm teasing. I'm just milking it. Also, Alan, I'm trying to think of anybody else I talked to. A lot of these cool guys I've met through the podcast or guiding are friends of mine. Obviously, Pete and Joe and Jim Stewart, all those guys, and Steve Herbeck. But they took time out of their lives to try to find me a boat. I mean, Randy Howe. Who's a Livingston and Dorsey and is the winner of the Bassmaster Classics. He's a good dude, man. He was looking for a boat for me.
No kidding.
Yeah. Nice. And so that means a lot that anybody would take the time and, spend time looking to help me out, 'cause they know that's how I make a living. That's awesome. Yep. The other thing from that thing that I learned is people suck and they'll drive around without insurance 'cause they're b-holes. The other thing I'll say is this, in the funniest deal, right, in this whole thing, is when I'm done and I'm standing there, I'm standing alongside the road with my wrecking rack, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Which you recovered.
Let me tell this story. So,
okay, go ahead.
Josh from Wrecking Rack, he makes tackle boxes. We're working on an underseat system. Folks, for you guys that have baits up under your pedestal seat, we got you figured out. It's going to be so good. I've been dealing with like some of these horrible under the seat systems that the baits just get caught in and they're a mess. Wrecking Rack's going to have you figured out really soon. It's going to be dope. I've seen it. It's crazy. But Josh sent me a bump board, right? You guys know I don't bump a bunch of fish. Oh, speaking of,
is it 50 or 52? Is it this or that? Well, I'm on Facebook and I'm worried. Who cares? Shut up. Right?
I'll say that much. Like, you guys with the measuring. Dude, I'm just going to, as an aside, I'm sitting with Jim Stewart that owns the Muskie Shop. And I've cut enough 50s that I don't care. Get a life. But anyway, Wrecking Rack sends me a new bumper. It matches my boat. Subsequently, that Wrecking Rack being black matches the interior of my leather seats, Jay. Believe it or not. Oh, just to bring it up. I'm teasing. So anyway, he sends me this thing. And he's like, check it out. You know, you get a Mondo Hondo or Slunge-a-Lunjo. Throw her on the rack. And the only time I really bump fish, I'll tell you guys, late fall, winter, that stuff. We can go into that. It's a whole other subject.
Yeah, I understand.
But sure. I've got this killer, beautiful, custom-made rack. It says Muskie Shop on it. What?
Ooh.
What?
What?
Steve Paul signature bump board? What? Pete Mena signature bump board? What?
Ooh. Pete Maina signature bump board.
Pete Maina signature bump board, huh? What?
Yeah. So, that's the invisible bump board.
It's invisible bump board. Pete goes, oh, it's yay big. I love Pete. But yep, he too. Sends me this bump board, and he's like, you know, this is what I make my boxes out of, or the build quality. This cop, and he's wearing his mask and everything, says, hey, man, is this yours? And I look, and I'm talking, dude, like 400 feet from where my truck was. This bump board is over on a hillside stuck in a tree. He's like, hey, man, is this yours? It's flipped open. It's everything. I said, yeah, that's mine. I walk over there and get it, and I stick it under my arm, and there's a wrecker pulling my boat. So I'm standing there. Here I am standing with my bump board under my arm, and they're pulling my boat away. I throw it in the truck, and I get home, and I bring it in, and immediately I'm going for a Pepsi because I'm upset. And I look at this bump board, and I went, that got thrown out. Like, dude, nothing happened. Like, that thing is so
perfectly functional.
Dude, no, not even functional. It doesn't look like it looks like the day it showed up, because I only got it a while ago, and it looks like brand new. I'm like, that just got flung like 400 feet.
Incredible.
And it's like the hinges opened up and all this. So this thing's flapping in the wind, getting hit 80 miles an hour. So if you want a bump board or a tackle box, check out Wreck and Rack. So I was supposed to test this stuff out and be like, hey, man, will it stand up to guiding? It got hit by a freaking car.
Yeah, I think the Wreck and Rack will survive the wreck.
The wreck. And the wreck, yeah, it's approved. Like, it's spelled with an R, but if you put a W on the front, that's what I did to it. Buddy, if you can break that thing, call me, because, listen.
Wow.
You know, it ate a 2005 Nissan Altima at 80 miles an hour, so we're good.
Impressive. Very, very
so,
cool.
So, big shout-out to Wreck and Rack. Those guys are awesome. And, again, a big shout-out to Mike from Waterwolf, who we're teasing earlier. I love him. He does great stuff. Again, Jabez, Eric Arnoldson from Livingston, Steve Hiding, Jim Stewart, Tim, my buddy from the Netherlands, Chris Ray, Mark Farkas, Jake Smith, Billy Pappas, all you guys, man, that went above and beyond and were cool and helped me out. I appreciate it. That is the story of the crap week I've had.
Pretty good so far.
Pretty good so far.
It's only Wednesday.
It's only Wednesday, folks. No, I don't know. It's a crazy story. I hope you get into it, or at least you're not completely annoyed. Other than that.
That was a pretty long story. Yeah. Well, you know, the rest of the week, you know what that's bringing up here up north in Wisconsin? Tournament time.
Tournament
time. St. Germain tournament is
game
this weekend.
On, baby.
Ton of boats in that. Big tournament. They're having it this year, obviously. And there's another one in Phelps. The Hayward tournament is this weekend, too.
Yeah.
That's a 600 plus guy tournament in that one, too. Had some great weather. I don't know if it's great for fishing, but it's been beautiful outside. Leaves are getting almost peak, and it was almost 80 degrees today again. Crazy.
Well, the cool thing is this, Jim.
Crazy warm.
Who was it that sent us the message? Because this week has sucked for me. The dude that sent the message about the tournament.
It has been rather slow. I mean, I've been talking
about
No.
I'm talking about
like
the. Sorry to cut you off, but I'm cutting you off. The tournament winner, dude. Who won that? There's a guy that sent some message that said he sort of followed what we were doing and won second place in that tournament.
Oh, yeah, I got that too. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Do you have, can you pull that up?
Give me a second.
Jay's working on it, folks.
I am on speakerphone with you, Steve. Can you hear me? Do you copy?
This is Tom Rudis, the pallet king of the Northwoods. If you have pallets, bring them to the Muskie Shop.
I did. It's his name's Janie.
Yep.
And he said he had a lot of fun listening to your podcast the other night. Ha ha! I love your ripping apart the famous YouTubers. By the way, we fished a tournament here in the metro area, and the stick it and make them pay phrase caught us a fish and helped us contact two others. Please continue to stay genuine with your podcast. It's a lot of fun. I think that's a different guy. Hey, thanks, Jamie. We appreciate that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But another guy said, yeah, he took it to heart and applied those that whole process to mm-hmm. his tournament last week and took a second place in a tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had an outpouring of positive comments on either – trying to go off speaker here. Yeah. Bear with me. Like flipping through crap. Okay. Big shout out to Jace and John and all those other guys that are constantly providing positive feedback on the podcast and the show. I mean, it's hilarious. They all have really funny comments, but they're so supportive. Tons of people on the last couple videos I contacted and had direct messages with and stuff like that. Various platforms, email the shop, call, guys that stop in that are loving the show.
Dude, that's the one thing I'll say.
I'm gonna have a laugh. It's overwhelming. I really appreciate it, guys. It's so cool to hear. And thank you so much. Really,
that's one thing I'll tell you. I always laugh at the internet boys, your keyboard cowboys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we got a store, and people actually come in like, "Are you Jay from the podcast?" Or I love the show. So.
Most of these guys don't know me, but they hear me talking and
yeah, that's
like,
what I'm saying.
Hey, I love the podcast, man. You know, they recognize my voice or whatever. It's pretty neat.
Cool. We appreciate it. And like, yeah. for you guys that want to like, that's not a 50. Boys, I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you. Level with you real quick. A, diss track incoming. B, who cares? Get a freaking life, dude. Like, if Jim Stewart from the Muskie Shop and me can't measure fish and you don't like it, who cares, son? Mm-hmm. Who gives? Mm-hmm. I don't know who you are. Nobody does. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're saying my name. Keep saying it. I love it.
Love it.
I'm living in your head rent free. I pay
Bring
zero. Thank you for the occupancy. Rent free, baby. Steve Paul in your head. Living there for free. Keep on worried about what I caught because you didn't catch shit. Anyway.
Hey, I got a call from a Smitty today. Did I tell you that?
Jake?
Yeah, the little Smitty.
You know how you guys named little
Smitty? That's the end of the story. There wasn't really anything. Yeah. We just chatted for a bit. He was guiding. He said he loved the last video. And, I asked him about his dad, if he'd be willing to do a prison skit with us.
Mm-hmm.
So we might be working on that. You know, Big Smitty's
dangerous man.
Involved. Dangerous, I mean, he's dangerous, man. Yeah, he's always into it. You kidding me? It's like a fire. Ah!
Russ Smith is my, like, frontline soldier.
Mm-hmm.
For real. Like, he does my dirty work, dude.
He is. Yeah. Those guys, man, those guys guide as much as you do.
They guide nonstop. But the problem is this.
Like every day.
Remember that guy we found behind the shed after the Muskie Shop bash?
We found a guy?
One that Smitty had shanked because he looked at him
that
wrong.
Guy? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. The cops came.
They knew the Smitties were involved and they just turned a blind eye.
Mm-hmm.
So,
too scared.
Watch out. The Smitties are dangerous folks. God, I love them. They're like the nicest people ever.
Yeah, just tune into the Smitty episode from last month. And,
dangerous.
Good times.
Jay, we've been rambling for so much. Here's what we're going to talk about here for a second. Because we had such a number of emails about last week. And like, well, you guys said you're going to talk more about cold fronts or tactics. We got into
We got into that. Yeah, and tied it in with our fishing experience,
with
our awesome
tournament.
Experience going to Minnesota. That was just a blast. It was something totally new for me. I loved it. I had a great time.
But.
Hard work, but it was.
A win's a win, baby. But some people wanted to take a little deeper dive there. A, gave me an idea because everybody's asking, well, what are you guys going to do on a deeper dive on this? So, quick announcement. Muskie Shop TV, as far as the new episodes, we got one more month. When we get into November, we're actually going to do podcast-style deep dives on subject matter. So let us know what you guys are thinking. Like, I really want some map work. I really want a masterclass on tubes, or I want a video about trolling, or I want this. We're gonna do bi-weekly videos over the winter until the show comes back out in like April or whatever it is.
Yep.
We could run all year long, folks, by the way, because we actually have like way too many episodes, which is a great thing. Like a lot of people are like, we never caught a fish. We don't catch fish. We have too many episodes, so we're cherry picking at this point, but we're gonna save some for you.
Too many fish, too many episodes, too little time.
Yep, but we're going to do the deep dives over the winter.
What a problem to have.
Yeah, bad problem.
Yeah, the deep dive thing, it's going to be cool. So, I got a great idea for an intro for that one. You're not in it.
Good. dude, that's the one thing when it comes to video, I really don't care, folks. Okay. Promise you, don't care. But anyway, if you've got ideas of like subject matters you really want a visual aspect to, you don't want to just hear me pontificate about it on the podcast. You want a visual element added in there, let me know. But a more stringent and more straight up cold front conversation, right? So I'm summarizing a bunch of questions we got from last week's episode, and the main thing is identifying a cold front and dealing with a cold front, right? So what is a cold front? A cold front is the back end of a storm system. We all know that fish feed before a storm is hitting, and on the back end, they're slowed. It's your high bright sun.
Storm system, but a cold front. And actually, cold fronts usually have a storm system associated with it. Not always.
Right, but postfrontal is a good example.
Postfrontal is the main thing there. Yeah,
or a large temp drop. Now, you might have a front that blows through your area or region that never drops precipitation, but it came through. Right.
It happens all the time.
Right. Identifying those systems. So the best way to look at it is, do we have a drop in temp? Do we have a change in humidity in the air? Right. Cold fronts are usually those periods where bugs aren't hatching. Nothing's moving. You look at the bank, there's no squirrels, there's no ducks, there's no turtles, nothing's moving. But to delve into how to handle those, the whole crux of the last podcast was discussing how we narrowed our search scope. So when we say we fish, 300-400 yards, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was literally it. We focused on that area, and you go, well, how do you know the muskie was there? That was a question we got. How do you guys know there's a muskie there? Well, before the front, we had moved muskies, and we realized they hadn't gone that far. But let's say you go on a body of water, and you didn't move muskies the night before, but you're just stuck, and it's a Saturday, and you have no information, right? How do you pick an area in a cold front? You could go back. We had a podcast where we were talking about musky patterns, and we were talking about the seasonality. So you need to take seasonality into account and apply that to the areas you're choosing, right? A little bit of lake knowledge, a little bit of application of seasonal knowledge can narrow that scope. You know, it's going to differ from rivers, lakes, reservoirs, the whole bit. But you need to apply your knowledge of muskies based upon seasonal patternings and find areas that are appropriate. So if we know that it's this cold front in the spring, we're still going to probably fish pretty dang shallow. If it's a cold front in the winter, we're going to probably fish 12 to 20. Okay. But
agreed.
Why did we narrow our scope is another question. We had a guy, there's a guy from Pennsylvania. He said, why did you narrow it down that tight? How did you do that? Why did you do that? My chair's creaking. It's horrible. Why did you narrow it to that area? Because that area met our needs. And basically, in the course of an 8-hour day, that's all we could fish at the speeds we were fishing. That's the one thing I don't know if we really covered, how slowly we were fishing. And Jay, explain the fan casting, the clock drill, the 1 o'clock, 2, 3, 4. Like, if you're retrieving slow and how many casts it takes to cover like your area of the boat.
Yeah, well, first off, we were on the south end of a lake. And this is a bay. They called it a bay. This is part of Cass Lake. It's Pike Bay. It's 5,000 acres or something. It's a big bay. But basically it's a lake. And this is clear water. It's got weeds, but it doesn't have large weed beds. It doesn't have wide weed beds. Wouldn't you agree? the weed bed we found on the south end.
At different times of the year, it might be wide, but what we encountered was not wide, no.
Right. No, no, because this is, we actually had a gentle drop off, you know, where it was, but we explored a few other areas of the lake and some, you know, brutal wind, which is almost unfishable. It was almost dangerous, you know, in a 20 foot Ranger in Jim's big boat. Well, I mean, we're getting blown around, hopped around, you know, it was bouncing.
Jay,
good.
Show some respect. Jim Stewart is a Ranger owner VIP.
You bet he is. Anyway, yeah, so we went to other some spots, and it's like, okay, this point here on the west end, you know, it's looking great. There's a wide point sticking out. You know, it's a big 8 foot flat, and it drops off pretty quickly. And we found actually the map was inaccurate by the time we got out there. They had very sharp drops, as mm-hmm. was the southeast corner of the lake, which I thought looked great on the map that we should check out.
Right.
We did a quick once over. Junk weeds and a very narrow strip of weeds and then a hard drop off. And it mm-hmm. wasn't like it was a rock drop off or anything. It was right. just sand. It was soft bottom. The area we were on was the south and the southwest end. Like Steve said a couple times, 300-400 yard long stretch. It wasn't a wide band of weeds, but they were certainly holding fish. If you got a decent locator, you're going to see that the fish are in there, whether they're high or mid or low.
There's bait fish in there. Yeah.
And not to mention a perch fisherman slid in there. Really nice guy I talked to at the landing when we left that night, you know, only to find out that because we weren't sure what he was catching. We were never that close to him. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't get right up on him, but he was catching perch and sure enough, right in the weeds, 12 feet, you know, and that was what we were targeting. I guess you asked me to talk about the fan casting technique. You know, Steve's boat control was masterclass, of course. You can't fish effectively if you're rolling around a mile an hour. I said that before. I love that point four.
Yeah, point,
that's a great
point,
tempo.
Point,
I love
point
it.
Four is like fast.
That's
for
it,
me.
Man.
Yeah.
That's that. I love it. But you know, we were actually, you know, he's got spot lock. Jim's boat has spot lock.
Mm-hmm. Of course it does. It's a Ranger.
It's a Ranger. I mean, oh God,
have we mentioned yeah. it's a Ranger?
Jim's a Ranger owner. I don't know if you knew that.
One of the best.
Yeah. Anyway, so he's running this, you know, Steve's running the spot lock, which is irreplaceable in this situation. Keeps right. you in an area.
Well, it's not irreplaceable because you guys have heard me. You could use an anchor.
You can use an anchor, but you're disturbing the bottom every time you right. lower that thing. I don't like that. But anyway, in a river maybe. But
right.
With a long rope. But anyway, you know, we're using that, and that helped us control an area until he shut it off and let the wind, you know, drift you instantly, you know, 15 yards, and then you do it all over again. Jim's running the back of the boat. I'm always in the middle. Steve's up front running the trolling motor.
Yeah.
And we fan cast.
Well, that's the thing though with the clock drill. And what we hit on is this. Is if you're looking, if we're standing, let's say you're fishing in the middle of the boat. You're not driving the boat. You're not in the back. You're in the middle. As you face open water, that's noon, right? Noon. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? 7, 8 on the other side, 9, 10. Once you've made those casts, you've effectively checked that area, and then we move half or three quarters that distance to check a little bit more of a new area.
Yeah. Right? And the first day, one thing we did on the first day, it was the most brutal temperature drop, and the recovery period of the temperature drop was the first day was Friday.
Yeah.
Friday. And, it was cold. I mean, we were bundled up. I mean, I can't remember, but it was in the 50s, you know, mm-hmm. all day, I think.
It was like,
so, you know, Steve's like, well, we can't throw a small enough bait basically mm-hmm. in this situation. One thing you were modifying was taking, these spinner baits that, we got called, Ace Baits. Guy in Minnesota makes them, really well-made heavy duty, musky spinner right. baits. They make three sizes. The little ones just like, you know,
it's a bass bait, out, but
three,
it's,
yeah.
It's
a
bass bait, but it's the cool thing about those, not to hijack you for a second. What I like about Ace Baits, the small ones are like a bass bait, but the way he wires them and the way they're made is so easy to get on a musky leader.
Mm-hmm.
And what you were going for is like, we were modifying our baits immediately in the cold.
Immediately.
Front.
You added weight to that so it could run deeper and slower. Yep.
And it
barely turning the book. Yep. Get in the weeds with that thing. You know, you catch a weed, give it a little rip. It'll come through probably clean.
That is, I'll tell you a quick ninja secret, right? Get out your pads and pens, folks. If you're taking,
I know what you're going to say. That's how the rock bass king, Steve Paul, gets state record rock bass.
Number three rock bass, tied for state record. Whatever. Who cares?
It was almost a state record rock bass. But anyway, yeah, he hit that ace bait. That was cool.
But what I'm looking at to have on hand for cold fronts, right? Because probably the biggest thing we could give people is this. Slow your boat control and slow your presentations. But slow and low can be difficult at times. And sometimes you have to have deep speed. Right?
Yeah. You're fishing low and slow. If you're drifting, you can't run. Cause you know what I mean? You can tell when you're going through weeds because you hit those stalks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You hit those firm stalks, often, and it's like chances are you're gonna foul up.
Well, what I'm getting at is often achieving depth in a presentation requires speed, right? So we take something everybody's used or has, a depth rater. To get it deep, you need to reel it fast. What we're looking to do is slow down the retrieval rate, but increase the running depth. So immediately I go to Jim. Jim, do you have rubber core sinkers? Yes, I have rubber core sinkers. I'm taking rubber core sinkers, pulling the rubber out, and crimping them onto the trailer hooks on that bait. It's going to run deeper immediately. Right? One thing we tried in a cold front was this, because the temperatures were not like to the point where muskies are not going to move somewhat quickly, right?
No, the water temp did not drop. It wasn't like 3 days.
It wasn't like insane. Colder in the morning, it warmed up slower.
Mm-hmm.
We were taking, of all things, double eights and double tens and putting 2, 3, and 4 ounces of lead in front of them. And you go, what are you talking about? The joke for, there's an old guru bit we did and you were on it. We call it bait nuts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, bait nuts. Right. Thank you, bait nuts. That joke is from taking sinkers and putting them in front of blades, mm-hmm. right?
It takes a lot of weight to get those things to run deeper. I mean, a lot deeper. It really does.
Right.
There's a lot of lift on a double eight. So that's what Steve was doing. Yeah. That's how you got one of those fish. That's how you got that first one.
Right. And that's the thing is you go, where do bait nuts come from? What are these guys talking about? I was taking, they call them bank sinkers, right? Mm-hmm. I was taking 2 2-ounce bank sinkers, putting them on a clip and then clipping them in front of double nines. So when I'm casting that thing, I can still burn it or move it quickly, right?
Yeah.
And then it's going to freaking do some damage.
Yeah.
It needs to be where the fish are. In a cold front, I'd say this. The one thing I could tell you, because every cold front is slightly different, how the fish are going to respond and what's going on there. In a cold front, the proximity that you need to engage a fish at is largely narrowed. I shouldn't say largely because it is narrowed.
Exactly. That's the key right
proximity.
There.
Proximity. The reason we're doing the clock drill is to ensure that our proximity to the fish is tighter. The reason we're only moving half a cast each time is so theoretically, if let's say that Jim threw a tube and it went by a fish, but it was 4 feet away. Theoretically, we might get close again on the secondary pass or the second movement. You have to narrow your scope of search. The reason cold fronts are difficult for most anglers, right, is because they cannot slow their presentations enough and get close enough to the fish, right?
Well, if you think about it, simply slowing down your bucktail isn't going to cut it.
Right.
You wouldn't have cut it last or 2 Fridays ago whenever we were up there.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have cut it because the proximity was not in the zone.
Yes.
That thing's, it, instead of running, you know, 16 inches under the water under a normal retrieve, it's running 22 inches under the water or whatever.
Exactly.
Ain't going to cut it. Yeah, that thing's got to be, we're fishing 12, 13 feet of water. That thing's got to be down 6 feet picking the weed chops.
I don't care what species you fish in a cold front. The reason cold front fishing sucks is because you have to slow down everything, which means you engage with less fish. And you have to get closer to said fish to get them to pay attention. The way you get around a cold front is finding baits that will run appropriate depths. One thing I'll mention is this, is like if I'm dealing with a cold front and fish are like 6 to 8, Livingston Headhunter, period, right?
Mm.
That bait will run at 6 to 8 so consistently it's ridiculous. And so on the other thing is like, if I know I'm 10 to 12, okay, I need a bulldog. I need like, so applying some baits to those scenarios and then going, what's the seasonality? What's the temperature gradient? What's the activity level?
Mm-hmm.
And going through that. But, you know, so you can like take some like generalities, like I just said with the headhunter, the bulldog or this, that, or the other. But then you need to augment things. And that's the ninja tip there, which you go, okay, I know that they're on medium to small baits in general, you know, 8 to 10, 10 to 12. Let's try them fast. Let's try them slow. What do I need to do to a bait to get it to run in the zone I need? And that comes back around to, in general, when we're talking about baits, we're talking about tools as an application. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the podcast, you never hear us going, I absolutely love this bait because it is awesome bait. No, it is a tool. So tools do jobs. What job do you need to get done today? And so that's the follow up on the cold front for me and my in the best way I can summarize this is, look at the tools you have at your disposal. How can you apply them to meet the parameters needed that day to be successful? Right? Step one. Or actually, it's step two, because the first step is going, what do I need to do to be successful? What you need to do to be successful is slow your presentations, get them to run deeper, and slow how much water you're covering. The other step is that is narrowing your scope of search. Narrow your scope of search by looking at the seasonality and going, it is winter, spring, summer, fall. Where are muskies supposed to be? They should be there or somewhere near there. That's it. I mean, does it make sense? I sort of did it backwards, so I'll do it forwards. A, find them. Use the parameters that muskies inhabit throughout the year. I'm fishing a cold front in Wisconsin in October. Where are muskies? They're 8 to 10 to 12 to 15 in general, correct? And they'll move shallow if it warms up, but they'll hang on the deep break. I'm wrong, I'm all right, Jay.
Sounds about right.
Okay. They should be anywhere from worst case scenario 1, because it warmed up on part of the cold front, to 10. So I'm fishing 15 to 0, where you're usually fishing anyway. Okay. So we're going to look at that. We're going to go, where should they be? Rocks, weeds, what's left? So that late in the year, is there any vegetation left that's green or good? Okay, if I can find that, they'll be there. If not, they're going to be on rocks or sand that hold heat. There's your location. Now we just need to find baits that cover that water. You know, it is a quantifiable experience. So just break it down. You know, the parameters might not apply every time, but the generality, the rules of thumb will apply anywhere you're at in the habitat range. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. Take, for example, last weekend when my buddy was up, we went to that lake in St. Germain where I got that one. Oh, it hasn't aired yet. It's, what was it, 46.0295 inches, I think it was.
Well, that's the thing, Jay. Is
right around there.
The Facebooker said it was 43.
Okay, I'm
because
not sure.
Because JS, he's like, you're like 6'2". Me and you are like, the towers of power, baby.
Well.
So.
The towers of geeks.
Anyway. Geek Squad, baby.
Geek Squad, yeah.
With a Z.
So I went out to that lake, and the spot where I got that one wasn't good anymore. It had changed. The good weeds and any bait that was in there was not there. Eliminated.
Right.
Immediately. Went to the north end where we caught...
the Lynchum fish.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was at bay, but we caught some
fish
on that north end, you know what I mean? That long stretch.
Yeah.
And only half of that stretch, this is about a 400-yard stretch, was any good with that deep weed stuff. Mm-hmm. And so eliminated half that right away. But the bay was still good. But anyway, it's about making changes and adapting. I mean, you have to eliminate that junk because things are changing quickly around here.
Absolutely. So guys, I got whiplash. I got to get this new boat rigged up until my new boat, the new custom boat is built. Again, I want to thank everybody that supported me this week and all my friends and pals that knew what was going on. To everybody that's commented on Facebook, thanks for all the support.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. Keep it going, boys. Mm-hmm. Love it. Keep it up. Jay, sayonara, sucker.
Later, guys. Thanks.
Later.